Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, May 12th. What's going on? I am here at the All Things Comedy Podcast Studios. Doug Stanhope is going to be here, hopefully, in a couple of minutes. Doug was had a late night last night at the library. He was doing some research. You know, a lot of comics like me just go on stage, and we just, you know, as we call it, shoot from the hip. And the subtext is that we don't fucking read. And, oh, look who's here. He's here. Doug actually researches. Doug Stanhope researches all of his jokes, making his way into the studio. What's up, brother? Look at that giant Dr. Seuss-looking flower.
They stink of booze and cigarettes.
Oh, they do. Have a seat. Welcome. Well, I'm right on time.
I did not show up in this condition, but...
Put on your headphones. Let's do this. What's up, my friend? Is his mic on?
Yeah. Check, test.
I don't hear it.
No, I don't hear it either.
Ah, Jesus. The all-thing comedies. Fucking microphones.
Check, test.
Hey, there we go. Dude.
Yeah,
good
see
you.
My manager put the top down in his car, and went, as soon as I put the top down, I could smell the booze coming off of you from the street.
Oh, I don't smell it, dude. You're fine. I was just telling everybody that you were out at the library researching, making sure, you know, when you go to tell your jokes that you have all your facts in order.
I do.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
you're one of the
check.
Few. You are one of the few.
Occasionally I'll find some bullshit where I don't want to find it, and I go, fuck it, I'm telling the joke anyway. No one's going to know. But for the most part, I want to be right.
Is it anything worse than when you have a joke you love, and then after the show, an audience member comes up with actual facts that completely ruins your whole point of view?
My most downloaded bit is about winning pussy on a bet back in the 90s, and it was a Red Sox-Twins game. Excuse me. And, I got the numbers wrong. Mo Vaughn didn't hit a home run. He hit an RBI. Some fact checker went back and found the game that I go into detail about, and it wasn't a home run. But it's already recorded. I can't take it back.
Oh, it crushes you.
Yeah. All right. I was a bit wrong, but the fucking Red Sox won, and Bobby Barnett fucked me.
Well, I just love the fact that somebody can go back and find the goddamn game. Like, then just to be a – what kind of a – who would care?
This is Brian Hennigan. He's my filthy, uncut Scotsman manager
ride. We met when you were doing the wheel turn. You and Rogan.
Oh, yeah.
When I came down there and hung out. Well, what the hell did you do last night?
I tried to podcast with Marilyn Manson at his house.
Okay.
Last night into today. So we got 4 hours of unusable footage where he's very open about what we were partaking in.
Dude, I want
really,
to hear
is
this.
Is it okay to...
To what? No, dude.
No, I was asking him. I'm like, yeah.
I don't want to get
you in
trouble.
I can put this out? And he's like, yeah, I have no problem with it. I get a text message on the way here. You can't put that out.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, then let's not talk about what happened. So you and Marilyn were playing board games. You got a little lost in it.
Yeah.
Monopoly, one of those Parker Brothers ones that just goes all night, you know, as it does.
And Bingo was supposed to be here with me, but she took some of that board game home with her enough to put her in a catatonic state.
Okay.
So I woke up after 4 hours of sleep. We're in an Airbnb. The owner comes in. He's talking to her. Excuse me. He's some Israeli guy. And she won't even look at him. She's that blown out of her gourd.
She actually was the one who texted me back this morning when I texted your phone to make sure you were still coming. She actually said, hey, Bingo here.
That's how I know.
Yeah.
Because she texted me. Sorry, I answered your text to Bill Burr, but I just took a pot candy. Well, that's probably not good on top of everything else you've done. Now you're taking medicinal marijuana when you're already psychotic.
Dude, when is this TV show coming out? I want to watch this. You know what's funny?
This week would be.
I'm on the exact opposite road right now. I'm getting ready to do a special. So I have been other than cigars, I've been a fucking choir boy. And, dude, I feel great
I'm
in the
morning. I'm 2 weeks behind on the podcast, so I kind of hate being here.
Why?
Because I'm not caught up.
Oh, no.
And I want to open by apologizing to your listeners, because if you're any type of fan of the podcast like I am, I fucking hate it when you have a guest. So
oh, really?
I'm sorry for being here.
No. Come on, dude. You're talking about playing board games with Marilyn Manson. My fans are liking this. I hope they are. I don't want to speak for them. I'm sure there'll be one douche on Twitter shaking his head.
Always.
Or her head.
Always one guy that ruins it. But
Roses.
Yeah, no, I said, I'm such an anachronism right now. He's got a Lexus convertible. I'm in a leisure suit with a head full of cocaine racing here, just making sure I don't forget flowers for Nia.
Yeah, you're a sweetheart. Right there. Why would the listeners not like you? Dude, I got to tell you, you're pulling off that leisure suit like nobody's business. You look great. That really is you. Those things should come back. That whole fucking fad, you know, where everybody started wearing the Bing Crosby fedoras and everything. I so wanted to jump on that. I just don't have the head for it.
Well, no, the 70s is like this. I'm so into leisure suits and the dumb 70s outfits. I watch Slapshot, the original one.
Oh,
and just
phenomenal.
Watching the outfits they had, the ridiculous.
Oh, Paul Newman. Guy. Paul Newman crushes a leisure suit.
Fantastic.
Hey, did you know what's funny that just reminded me of? It was back in the day when you were doing that show with Rogan, the man show.
Ugh.
Were you guys the original or the second? You were the second host.
Second, yeah.
When you, Rogan had, some fucking race car that he was driving, and your parking spot was right next to him, so you wanted to go out and buy the ugliest fucking car.
I bought the biggest piece of shit, and that's why the show sucked so bad. Instead of trying to write better bits that we wouldn't even have gotten on the air to begin with, I'd just sit on eBay and try to find the biggest piece of shit car.
Dude, I loved it. You find like a two-door Chrysler K-car convertible with fake wood sides.
1980 Dodge Aspen.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It was painted lime green with a white racing stripe, and it was an unvertible, not even a convertible. It was just had the top off. So it looked like there's a top underneath the vinyl thing in the back.
Why did I remember wood? I just remember seeing it going, it was so fucking awful. It was awesome.
And I had the props department make up a bumper sticker that says, "I'm with Rogan," with an arrow pointing towards his car. So he had like a $120,000 Porsche. So we had adjoining spots on the lot. So, yeah.
Did you find it in California?
Yeah, it was like Fresno. It was a long road trip and the scariest ride home ever because that thing shouldn't have been on the road.
You know what I love about California is that you can find those cars. They live forever out here. Like I saw a Chevy Monza out here. Remember those? I've seen like two Chevettes. I mean, Chevy Chevettes.
You can't find those on eBay. You look for a Chevette. You can't find it on
done.
eBay.
They were like for the young people. That was basically our answer to like the Honda Civic. It was supposed to be our trying to get, catch up with the Japanese people. And it was made by Chevy. It fucking died at 60,000 miles. There was absolutely nothing cool. My parents had two of them, a 78 and an 80. And I mean, they were both gone in the crusher by like 88.
I had a Chevy Citation for a while on the road. Another
with
one
the sideways radio?
No.
Do you remember the year they forgot to design a radio in there, and then they were like, fuck it, and they literally turned it sideways and didn't even change the numbers. My buddy had one. I swear to God that's true.
Do you know how much that would sell for now? Like what we used to consider a piece of shit. Remember in Massachusetts they would have winter cars? Someone would buy
my winter
Camaro,
car, dude.
But they'd have a winter car.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. The fucking T-tops
that
and
winter
all that.
Car right now would sell for like $8,000 if it's in decent shape.
I know. It's unreal. Our childhood is worth a fucking fortune now. It kills me, but I hate how it's all being sort of mocked, Like everything, I liked when all those old school hipster T-shirts came out because I actually liked a lot of that stuff until I realized that they were making fun of it. And then it just made me feel
ironic.
Bad. Like, yeah, my childhood's a joke.
It's irony now.
Yeah, I liked all those cereals and the Tang.
Yeah.
And all the shit that we grew up with. Like, I have a lot of...
Count Chocula.
Count Chocula was the shit. I like blueberries.
Remember Zarex?
Zarex. What was that? That
was
a drink.
It was a syrup that you would pour into water. And it was only New England, but it was a syrup you'd put into water.
And there was a zebra on the label.
Yeah.
Zarex so zispy, Zarex so zaspy, so good as can be. Just remember that Z. Holy shit. Yeah. Holy shit, where the fuck did that come from? I haven't thought of that since like the fucking 70s. That was another thing. They had all those great it was all about getting hopped up on sugar and then watching these acid trip fucking cartoons. Because like all the writers, the new generations of writers who were doing drugs and thought it was this hip thing and didn't realize, cocaine, the big lie, everything that was coming in the 80s. So they were kind of...
Coming in the 80s?
Yeah, they were kind of like steering you down that fucking road. Like if you watch cartoons, right, there's a shift somewhere in the late 60s, early 70s where the older people are out. If you watch, there's an old Flintstones one where they're actually making fun of the Beatles. Remember that one where they had that bug music?
No,
I can't stand bug. It was a bunch of bugs. It was supposed to be the Beatles, and they and like this song they were singing, they literally was monotone, like tone deaf. They were just going, yeah, yeah, yeah. He said, yeah, yeah, yeah. We said, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then they'd scream like Paul McCartney. I watched,
which is actually a lot of what the Beatles were.
In the early on.
Hugely overrated band.
You think so?
Love, love me do. You know I love you. Really? That's fucking genius?
Yeah, but that was the horse shit when they were under the label's control. And once they got out of that.
Started doing drugs.
Yeah, Rubber Soul and fucking, you know, White Album. I'd like to say they stand the test of time. I listened to some book
on tape about the Beatles, but the guy, the author was going into such great detail about how genius they were, but talking about that dog shit 60s, you know.
You don't like the Beatles?
Nah, not really.
Okay, I gotta hear it now. This is very unique.
I don't like music to begin with, so I'm not the guy to talk to. I'm just not a fan. Yeah, I listen to music the way most people listen to stand up. Maybe once a year they go to a live show.
Right, if that.
Yeah, maybe I'll watch a special.
What happened?
Just never caught on with me. It interrupts
it's like
me.
It's one of the fucking only good things human beings have ever done. I'm sure we had to chop down some trees to make all those guitars and oboes and shit, but, I mean, generally speaking.
It's not my thing. I don't mind it. Like, on my iPod, I downloaded a bunch of Count Basie and Duke Ellington. Shit that doesn't interrupt your train of thought. No lyrics. Just nice
Doug
jazzy
Stanhope.
Background music.
Doug Stanhope music. He doesn't
mind it.
I don't mind it. You mean if you have to have it on?
Yeah, as long as it's in the background. I don't want to yell over it. I don't want the words confusing what I'm trying to think about in a conversation or what I'm trying to write.
I remember being on a flight with you on American Airlines, some random thing. And
I think we were both pretty hungover and we took pictures together.
We did.
Yeah.
We did. And I remember that was when American Airlines, when you went to go get off, would start playing that music and their jingle and anything. And you had gotten a phone call. And I was so hungover, I forgot you were on the plane. And I just heard from three rows back your voice like, oh, Greg, can I call you back? I'm getting ear raped by American Airlines. It's all these families there with children and stuff. I'm just like, Jesus, this guy fights the fight from 8 a.m. on. I don't have that kind of fight in me. I was just like, all right, I'll listen to it. Just walking off like a zombie. You're already fucking. You should have spent.
The Doug signed on the dotted line.
Hey, I got to, you know something? When I was doing my 3 minutes of research that I had to do on you because I've known you for so fucking long and I knew I didn't have to do it, I had no idea. You've put out like 13 fucking albums?
Some of those are like, one was like a XM radio special event. So not.
All right, you got 1998, The Great White Stanhope. That's an hour of material.
Yeah, I don't even admit that exists.
99, Sicko.
Sicko is most of the good parts of the first one I put out through a piece of shit.
So we'll give you one there. 2000, Something to Take the Edge Off.
Yeah.
2001, Acid Bootleg. 2002, Die Laughing. 2003, Word of Mouth. 2004, Deadbeat Hero. Dude, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years in a row. You took 05 off. Put your feet up, right? 06, Morbid Obscenity?
That was a benefit thing for a guy. It's a long story.
Okay, so we'll knock that one off. You're still up to 6 or 7
was,
here.
Yeah,
seven's no refunds.
Filler.
No refunds. I know that that's a filler
one
because I saw that. From Across the Street in 09, 011. Is that Oslo, like Norway? Burning the Bridges to Nowhere, 2012, Before Turning the Gun on Himself. What a great fucking title. And 3, Beer Hall. How do you?
Putsch.
What is Putsch?
Beer Hall Putsch was Hitler's failed attempt to overthrow the German government in 24. And they'd all meet in beer halls and they'd rile each other up and scream and yell about the government and all this.
In a bar. Can you imagine drinking with Hitler? How much fun would that be?
They're like just 1,500 seats.
Just getting them all riled up. Just being like, I don't know, I kind of like Jews. Yeah. Just watch, what the fuck are you talking about? Just to see how fucking mad you can make
them. He always closes. Hitler, why does Hitler always get to close? Get them all worked up into a lather, but Hitler, he goes up
no,
there
Hitler
rides
wants,
my wave.
Hitler will go on whenever, but no one wants to follow him. Like, that's his point. I'm not going on after that. Once he gets
I have to work dirty to follow him.
You can't win. Either they don't like him, and he just burns down the room, or they're so into him. You just can't follow the fucking guy.
Yeah, but Jesus he got them all Christ. To take to the streets finally to go overthrow the government, and a few people got shot, and he ran like a pussy. So that's the significance. Is I talk a lot of shit, but when it comes down to it, I don't do anything.
But isn't that amazing?
I just yell in bars is my point.
Isn't it amazing how back in the day, how because of the lack of technology, that you could actually assemble a bunch of people in a bar and have them believe that they could overthrow the government of your country.
And without a microphone.
Yeah, dude, let's just walk down the street, right? All of us, and just, what are you going to do? Like, what door are you going into? Have you even fucking worked out how to get into the Parliament building? Like, what are you going to, like, the fact that they actually, I know they were shit-faced probably, but the fact that that was actually, like, doable. Like, nowadays, I mean, the amount of fucking people as you were doing it, like, would be tweeting, like, you know, group over here thinking of taking over the government, shaking my head away. There'd be video of it. As you went down the street, there'd be like news helicopters.
Shaking my
head. Yeah. They would turn it into a fucking reality show before it even got off the ground. The fact that you could actually do that. But here's something I actually learned about Hitler when I was just on my honeymoon over, and we went over to France, went over to...
Yeah, no, I'm a fan of the podcast.
Okay.
I listen.
How fucking...
I hated you so much at the beginning of that, where you're like, I'm going to do all this stuff, because I'm the guy that I would go there and just find a bar. The whole idea of France bores me just. And you were so glowing about how much I'm going
to
go do this and that.
Oh, yeah. I always
it was
wanted
only
to go.
A small amount of time before you fell in it exactly. Like, I'm going to go look at this fucking thing. Like, how long can you look at a fucking thing?
Where, here, no, here's
the
what Arc happened.
The Triomphe or whatever.
Here's what happened, though. I went up to the Eiffel Tower, and there was no – the line was really short. It's like Pink's hot dog. You go buy it. If it's a short line, you don't even want a hot dog. You're like, well, we got to do it. There's a fucking line. So we went up. It was totally worth it. Dude, I'm a contrarian. I'm a grumpy cunt. I went over there. I put a smile on my face. I knew if I went over there and I was my usual douche and I acted like I was at Disney World, I was going to ruin my wife's honeymoon. And do you think I would ever hear the end of that? It's not even that. Just to ruin that part of her fucking
but
life. She
enough
wanted to go
douchiness
there.
Came out that I felt okay about myself. Like, what, really? I would have been such a douche over there because...
Oh, no. I was that
was
interesting
to me. Like, would you
know what? You're
would you go to the
what
Empire
are you like, Rhode
State
Island?
Building?
You're just a contrarian.
Maybe.
You don't like music and you don't like France? I mean, no. What else don't you like? Let me guess. You don't like Italian food. Hey, I think it's overrated with the deliciousness.
I like spaghetti. I like the spaghetti and meatballs.
You know, those supermodels, you know?
Not I mean, really my style.
Yeah, I mean, you can kind of look at them. Whatever.
I have.
Hey, when we come
myself.
Back, we're going to talk about how overrated the blowjob is.
Not a fan.
Not a fan.
Not
okay.
a fan of the blowjob. Never really come.
Never really from the beginning.
Blowjob,
like, or just because you're so tainted at this point.
Well, at this point, I'm worthless. But even in my best day, I feel bad for you having to do that.
Really?
Yeah.
What about what the fuck you had to do? At least their job's out in the open. You got to sit there like you're in fucking Nam on point. How many minutes are we in here? I got to read some advertising. 18 minutes in, I got to sell my soul here.
You have made this like you fucking up ads. You don't. You're the
don't
only guy.
Who
wouldn't fast forward through an ad. You actually listen to the commercial because you fucked them up, and it's hilarious that you're actually listening to ads. Like you look forward to the ads.
I know it's awful.
But I'm saying you could sell ad space for more money than any other podcast because you go, hey, I have this thing that I do where I will fuck up and assassinate your advertisement so badly no one will skip it.
Yeah, but the sad thing is I'm trying. I'm actually trying to get better at this. I like to think that I could be one of those news anchors on ESPN, but I know when I read out these out loud, it's like it never would fucking happen.
I read the same way.
All right, here we go. Okay, guys, please don't look at me when I try to do this. All right, Dollar Shave Club, everybody. Nothing feels better than that first shave with the fresh blade, right? It's smooth, it's close, and the blade is as sharp as it's ever going to be. God damn it, it feels fantastic.
But you know what I hate, Bill, is going down to those goddamn Walgreens or CVS and you have to stand in line behind some junkie just to buy my goddamn razors.
Hey, tell me about
people
it.
People are shooting at me with live ammunition. How am I going to get a nice, close shave?
And you're just waiting for what? Overpriced blades. Wouldn't it be wonderful?
It would be.
If somebody recognized that problem... And came up with the solution.
That's something I would not be a contrarian about. I
well,
would actually appreciate a decent
you
close shave delivered right to my door.
Your savior has come. It's Dollar Shave Club. Where the fuck do I jump to in the copy here? For just a couple bucks a month, DollarShaveClub.com ships me the highest quality blades you can get. I'm a four-blade guy, evidently, from the person who wrote this copy. They're in my head.
That looks like a four-blade shave. I was going to say it right off the bat.
Hey, hear what I say. How many fucking blades do you need if it's sharp? And with Dollar Shave Club, what, are you going to slit your throat four times? And with Dollar Shave Club, it only
costs
$6.
I like to share it with
bucks.
A friend.
$6 a month for a four-pack. Seriously, only $6 for the best quality blades you can get. So every week, I can pop in a fresh blade and treat myself to an amazing goddamn shave, Doug Stanhope. Join DollarShaveClub.com. Get amazing quality blades in the mail for a couple bucks and treat yourself to a brand new blade every single week. Hundreds of thousands of guys have upgraded. That's a typo from last week. This is stupid. They've upgraded from shaving with the old thing.
Oh, you're reading
with the
this?
New stuff.
I thought this was all off the top.
I'm one of them, and I'm loving it. Now it's your turn. Shave time, shave money. DollarShaveClub.com/burr. That's DollarShaveClub.com/burr. I mean, that's so simple. I think it's going to make these kids even softer with their timeouts. You know, I can't even believe they can grow whiskers. All right.
Okay. Well, we should go to sports.
We should go to sports.
Trying to stay. I know the format.
Wait a minute.
People are going
to
be mad.
We're going to go to sports. We're going to go to sports, but I got to read a couple more of these fuckers.
Good.
I try to do half and half. Try to break it up like a great book. Hulu Plus. That didn't even make sense. Hulu Plus, everybody. You know what? You've probably tried Hulu on your computer. Hulu Plus is so much more. With Hulu Plus, you can watch current season episodes of your favorite shows like Modern Family, The Daily Show, and Scandal, and watch every episode of shows like Nashville, Lost, and Doctor Who. Is that back? Swap with any red/green color-coded shows listed. Oh, I wasn't supposed to say that. This isn't color-coded. It's in black and white. I'm supposed to. What shows do you like, Doug? What's your favorite show out there? I Hate Music and Fuck the Beatles.
Boardwalk Empire is a fantastic show.
Fantastic show. You know what? I'm going to say that Hulu Plus has it.
I bet they do.
You know what? I would be surprised if they didn't. You get ad-free movies and kids.
How about Friends?
And kids shows,
I love
too.
That show. I bet they have Friends.
Oh, when Ross starts dancing around? I love it. And then Chandler makes a snide comment. Now more than ever, there's so much to watch. Take total control with Hulu Plus to stream these shows and thousands more. As much as you want, wherever you want. That's a terribly written sentence. Hulu Plus works on your computer, smart TV, Roku, Apple TV, Xbox, PlayStation, pretty much every streaming device you own. You can even watch on your phone and iPad while you're on the train and at work, at the dentist, or in the bathroom. You can even block off a data binge. You can do it wherever the hell you want to. They even have original shows like Deadbeat, a comedy about a pot-smoking guy who talks to ghosts. There you go, Doug. Binge on all 10 episodes starting April 9th. It's only for $7.99 a month. You get all your shows anytime, anyway. How do you do it, for Christ's sake? Where the hell is it? The whole week? Just go to HuluPlus.com/norm. What? I'm trying to speed up through this. Right now, sign up for Hulu. HuluPlus.com.
Norm McDonald's podcast copy?
/norm.
Slash Norm? You don't get any money from Norm.
This isn't supposed to be. It's supposed to be /bill. Slash Bill. They said Norm. Well, you know what? I like Norm McDonald. Let's give him the money for the week.
I didn't even know he had a podcast.
Oh, yeah. Dude, Norm McDonald. Did you see him on Conan telling that moth joke?
No.
Yeah, you got to see it.
No, I haven't.
Dude, you know how many comics out there don't give a fuck, but kind of still do? You have to kind of still do to eat. That guy
Norm
truly.
Norm doesn't. He's so fucking
truly,
funny.
One of my best opening monologue jokes ever. Did you ever see, remember that whole thing when he was doing Weekend Update and they told him to make it funnier? So he didn't. He just was more Norm the next week. So eventually, of course, he gets fired. So then, he goes off into the Hollywood world. He's got a TV show or a hit movie or some shit. So now they bring him back to guest host on SNL. And I'm going to butcher this, but he kind of came out. He's like, yeah, so, I got fired from this show. So now they got me back hosting, which means either I got a lot funnier or this show sucks. That's what he opened up with. And I know that wasn't approved. Sorry for the bad Norm. I'll have Jay Moore on to make up for it.
That was a great Norm. Norm, listening to Norm on Stern or anything, any podcast, listening to – I don't know if you remember when Charles Grodin would do Letterman. And just knowing he's going on there, that it was always a fucking great show.
Oh, yeah. That's and what, people didn't get that he was fucking around.
Yeah. That's amazing. How Norm is anytime. If Norm's the guest, I'm fucking listening.
Do you know Charles Grodin was on SNL, and there's a host sketch where he actually breaks character and is talking to Belushi and all those guys when they have the bee outfits on, going, the antennas are distracting. He acted like he wasn't there for rehearsal because he was too busy shopping, doing this whole big Hollywood thing, and they just make it so fucking because awkward is so popular now, a lot of people doing that in comedy, just to think that they did this back in the late 70s, a lot of people the next fucking day thought that he truly skipped rehearsal and he
fucked
was
up.
That was actually the sketch. Like, I had no idea. I think Midnight Run is one of the most underrated comedies of all time. Him and De Niro in that. Charles Grodin is fucking absolutely brilliant in that thing. So there's one for you. I bet Hulu Plus has that one too.
Hulu Plus.
For only $7.99 a month, you can get 4 blades dragged across your face as you watch your favorite TV show. So I got to talk a little sports here.
Sports? Come on, Michael Sam.
Do you watch
NHL?
Hockey at all? No?
Yeah.
Do you tolerate?
I watch anything in the playoffs.
Okay.
I find it important to have a favorite team in the playoffs.
Who's your favorite team?
Right now in NHL, all my teams are not in it. Senators, like the Winnipeg Jets.
I like the Jets.
Like the Buffalo Sabres.
The Sabres? I don't mind the Sabres, but...
Yeah, we went down for a minute.
Yes, we did.
That almost never happens. Your podcast, I don't know if it just seems like, you know what, I'm just going to keep talking, and if there's a fuck up, you don't seem to fuck up, but you don't seem to edit.
No, I don't edit. I don't edit the thing. I just sort of do it. Like right now, we just freaked everybody out. Like they were going 90 miles an hour heading towards NHL, and then we just literally just went like, oh, hey, what the fuck? Sorry about that mind fuck. For everybody. No, I don't edit them because that's work, and I didn't get in this business to have a job.
Right.
Okay? I got in this business because I had jobs, and I didn't like it. I didn't like coming there and having somebody fucking going, hey, you know, pick that up and fucking put it on. You fucking do it. I know what I'm supposed to do, you idiot. I could have mentally – like all the fucking jobs I had, I mentally could have done after the third grade. So that was one of the things that pissed me off. Like why did I go through all of that horse shit and ruining my summers and going to summer school – all those years in fucking high school, if this was what I was going to do, load and unload trucks.
Yeah, UPS, that was the big job in Worcester.
Dude, I got to tell you, that was one of the most fun fucking jobs I ever had. The
humping boxes, graveyard
shit? I didn't do UPS. UPS was like fucking, you know, it was like pledging a frat that you never got asked to join. It was like a software company. We were intermediate between the people who made software. And then they shipped – we had you could buy it all right here. It was like before the internet. So we were like this web page, except it was a fucking warehouse. So we used to just ship it out, bring it in, ship it out, and all that type of stuff. But, dude, it was class clowns, drug addicts, and musicians. That's what it was. And then the people watching us were nerds who wanted to move up the fucking ladder. Like they wanted to get out of the non-carpeted area and get into the carpeted area. And justify their tie. That's basically what it was. And we had the best. Dude, we fucking, everybody had an impression of everybody there. Everybody like had nicknames.
The only impression I could ever do was my landlord in Massachusetts, Mr. Minas. And I'd call my fucking, it was a three-decker. And I'd call a guy upstairs who's a pothead and I'd pretend to be Mr. Minas.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Mr. Minas. Well, you're gonna turn the heat. Anyway, I'm fucking off track. You talk. I think your point was you don't edit.
No, I know what you mean. So our boss was this guy, and he had a regular voice until he got upset. And when he would always say, he would go up a little, be like, come on, you guys, blah, blah. And we would all just go, come on. Oh! We just give him, all of us. So, like, he couldn't even...
A symphony of mocking?
As we were doing it, he would always walk away shaking his head going, bunch of babies. And he would just walk out. And that was the worst we would get reprimanded. So I never understood why anyone would want to go into the cubicle area where now you were in this little fucking box, only one way in, one way out. They knew where you were supposed to be. The warehouse, you know, I'm in the warehouse with the eyes counting shit. He's on the forklift. No one knew where the fuck I was... really supposed to be. So there was an element of freedom. It was basically a bigger fucking cubicle. So, but anyway, we got to get back to the hockey.
Yeah, hockey.
So
Bruins.
The Sabres, I was saying, I would like them if you know, they weren't in our division. I still like them. I'm really psyched that they went back to their old uniform.
I like uniforms. Yeah, that's what it all comes down to. The Canucks, fucking those beautiful colors. I don't know if they still have them.
They still have them. They finally went back to them. The two biggest mistakes, the biggest one was Vancouver's. I mean, it was so fucking ugly. That home one, that mustard yellow with the orange.
I love it.
You liked it?
Yeah.
Well, shit, you're wearing a leisure suit.
Yeah. Tampa Bay Buccaneers creamsicles, best uniform in sports history. So, yeah, I like the Canucks.
No.
The old Astros.
Astros was a great one.
Yeah, that's
the old really Astros nice. Was a great one. Yeah, we were child. You know, we were talking about while we were waiting for the whole thing to come back on, because we were talking about that Zarex jingle, how that came out of nowhere. But then we were talking about other things like Fluffernutters. Yeah, like how that.
I don't even know if they make marshmallow fluff anymore.
There's no way that they would. People are too informed.
They still make Moxie. You can find that shit.
They probably, but there's no. But Fluffernutter was mainstream. Like in my neighborhood, it was peanut butter and fluff.
But I don't know if it was just a New England thing. A lot of shit I thought was mainstream. No one drank Moxie ever anywhere.
I never even heard of that.
Moxie soda?
No.
Tastes like a. I don't know. It was like the Jägermeister of soda.
Oh.
It first hit your mouth. It tasted like cola, and then it had the most horrific aftertaste that just made you want to drink more to get that first taste, to get the second taste out of your mouth, and then
And it was all legal.
It's still out there.
Do you remember?
I have a can in my fridge at home. I had it mailed to me.
Do you remember Marathon bars?
Yeah.
They had this candy bar for the youngsters here. Or listening or whatever. Marathon bar was basically, it was just 100% caramel twisted around in like a pretzel thing, like a long stick. And their big thing was, it was so long. It was a marathon bar. It was going to take you like a fucking hour to somehow consume this
thing. All your fillings out of your
head. And you'd sit there and like you literally had to bite. It was like you were pulling a pin out of a grenade. You had to fucking just rip the thing.
That was one of those questions where we go, what's that fucking? And we had to describe the candy bar. Like, what was the name? And it took us for fucking ever to remember Marathon Bar.
Marathon Bar, O'Henry's, all of that shit.
Just anyway, back to hockey.
Sorry, back to hockey.
Everyone's going to fucking hate me for being here.
Back to hockey. So my Boston Bruins.
Three and two.
We were down 2-1. Now we're up. 3-2. I still think it's going 7, and I think it was a bad move. Sean Thornton sprayed water at P.K. Subban at the end of the game. Was not a smart move. Like, you don't rile up superstars.
Not on the heels of the whole Clipper scandal. You don't spray water on the only
Clipper
Negro.
Scandal? Forget about what, you know, a certain percentage of the Bruins fan base when he scored an overtime goal and the N-word was trending on Twitter. I mean, dude. You think you're vintage with your leisure suit? You should see some of the Twitter accounts of Bruins fans. So fucking embarrassing. It's so fucking embarrassing. It so takes away from the game. But PK is quickly becoming a guy, despite the fact that he plays for a team that I hate. You can't fucking hate the guy. It's like a Derek Jeter kind of thing where, you know, he was always a good player. But now he's a legitimate superstar at this point. And he's just one of those guys. He plays physical defense. He's got the whole defense thing down, and then if there's an offensive time, he can jump up into the play. He came one of my favorite goals of this playoff, and I hated that it was against us, but it was right as the penalty. He was in the box, right? Right as the penalty, it's like 3-2-1, and I'm going, oh, fuck. He's coming out of the box, and just the dude hit him in stride. He went down he looked like a forward. He didn't look like a defenseman at all, and a lot of people don't realize how big that guy is. I went to a Canadiens game earlier this year, and he's a monster. So, having said that, Sean Thornton, towards the end of the game, he's on the bench. He sprayed water in his face. And it's just like, why would you add? Those are crushing defeats. And now you got this guy even more fucking motivated. I mean, he still, when the game was over, he still scored a fucking goal. This guy is Freddy Krueger. He's not going away. He's just going to keep coming. So I also love the fine. Sean Thornton got fined like $2,863, and it was a really specific thing. Like, was he trying to make it sound official? Would he have cleared $3,000 if PK didn't have a visor on and it went directly in his fucking eye? Like,
it was the cost of dry cleaning pads.
Oh, is that what it is?
I don't know.
So, anyways, I think I'm hoping we're going to close them out tonight, which we could do. But I've watched enough hockey to know that there's going to be a Game 7, and I think that they're really going to have the jump on us tonight. I hate to say all of that, but I think already that they weren't going to fucking.
I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to guarantee a Bruins victory tonight. No game seven.
Yet,
I said it.
Yet another reason why there's going to be a game seven. I think it's Bruins Canadians. It has to go seven games.
4-2. I'll even tell you the number.
Hey, I hope you're right. I hope you're right. But I the organization's too fucking
what
proud.
What does Habs mean? What does fucking Habs mean?
The habitants. It's a French thing. I forget.
Habitants?
Like the habitants. It's the French thing. It was basically, I think that's the Native Americans before the Native North Americans before they did whatever they did to them. I think that they called them that.
All right.
No, they wouldn't. Why would they say that? Because they didn't speak French.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know what? You know, that's one of those things I've looked up a zillion times. Also, like the Bruins logo, the spokes. It's supposed to be the hub or something. I can never fucking remember it.
All right.
But I can remember the Zarex thing because that's how fucking delicious it was.
All right, here's my podcast question before I forget.
Okay. Oh, yeah, Doug Stanhope has a bunch of Monday morning podcast questions. We're going to go behind the scenes here.
Yes. When you obviously, when you read a letter, an email from a fan.
I have some right here.
Yeah, well, we'll get to one. Obviously, you haven't read it before.
No.
But they're not random because you just get every third one would be, what the fuck? When are you playing North Andover?
Right, right, right.
So who pre-screens?
Andrew Themelis. He pulls them for me. He kind of knows the ones that I like.
All right.
And then so what that's makes
– I bet Nia does it. I always thought that.
So no.
I don't know.
No. You don't want to – like
I always seem like you're in your basement and she's the only human being in your universe that you can yell, Nia! Fucking Nia!
Yeah.
So I thought maybe she did it.
No, she comes on the podcast. She's had a couple of fucking great rants recently, and I was kind of hoping that I could get her on, but she's been real busy with her career.
I brought flowers for a reason. I go, she's not going to like me. Nia's not going to like me. So I brought flowers to suck up.
Nah. The second she saw your leisure suit, she's really big into fashion. She'd love it. She would absolutely love it. We'll get a picture. We'll soften the blow of Doug Stanhope by getting flowers and a nice picture of you in the leisure suit or anything. Well, speaking of you have any more behind-the-scene questions?
No. If I come up with them, I'll interrupt your train of thought.
What color my pajamas are when I'm lying in there recording? All right. Let's read a couple of questions here. This is from a listener, Tug McGraw. Remember Tug McGraw?
Baseball player.
Played for the Phillies. Used to slap his thigh with his glove when he'd be getting all amped up.
No.
Yeah, when they were taking down your Astros or whoever the fuck they beat together.
I just like the uniforms.
Okay, sorry. Okay, Bill, how about the NFL players suspended for smoking weed? I think it was a guy in the Browns, the guy who like led the league in receiving, got suspended because he was smoking weed. This guy says, how ancient is that mindset? Dear NFL, please let the guy who destroys his body for your ratings smoke a joint to help relax his body, mind, and muscles so he doesn't take it out on his girlfriend or her kids. I love how he can't be married with his own kids. Also, here's a great...
Yeah, hey, you know what? Michael Sam has brought us to a place where he might be beating up his boyfriend after a bad game. That dude he just made out with when he got signed to the Rams.
Did he get drafted?
He got drafted by the Rams and then made out with his boyfriend to celebrate on national TV. It was a beautiful day. I was on Santa Monica Boulevard and I tried to high-five gay men. Michael Sam, I literally tried to high five a gay guy outside of the closet thrift store.
Oh my god, dude! Do you realize
he did not high five me back?
It just went from fucking 1900 in the NFL to like fucking 2018. I think they're actually ahead. I did not see that.
It was fucking beautiful.
I did not see that. I have to admit,
he was at home. He's got a white boyfriend too, so it was interracial on top of that. He fucking leans down and kisses his small petite white man and celebrate his draft as a linebacker for the St. Louis Rams.
I got to be honest with something. And you're not supposed to allow you. Yeah, you're not supposed to admit to your flaws. You're supposed to act like I don't see color and I'm not homophobic. I'm not homophobic. I like to think, but that actually made me uncomfortable thinking about that. Why would that be? Because I was psyched that he was going to be in the NFL. Right, and I also want him to dominate because I was hoping he was going to play on my team and he was going to dominate because it's a whole other level that it would annoy the other team's fans, like the homophobes. Yeah. It would be annoying if he just fucking was a beast out there. But then him kissing the other dude that I was trying to laugh about it, but it made me uncomfortable a little bit.
Incredible, it was wicked good.
Well, I guess I got some shit I need to work on. I guess I'm not used to that yet.
I like to think I don't see color, but I do. But I don't see weight. It's a weird thing. Fat people. I'm off topic.
I do. I see weight, and I also see color. At night, I see color.
I grew up with so many fat people. I don't notice when I never thought of that guy as fat till you mentioned it. But, yeah.
Everybody sees color. I hate when people say that. I don't see color. It doesn't matter if you're purple, red. It's like, no, you'd fucking notice that.
I see white people singing in England, and there's – yeah, I cross the street. I see it. There's a group of fucking –
hey, are you Asian? I don't see color. I can't tell. Are you African American?
Yeah, I need to know when to cross the street. And if there's a bunch of the same colored people, they're probably looking for an enemy. And I don't want to be it.
Yeah, if the second you feel outnumbered,
you definitely see color. In England, where everyone's white, you go, well, okay, now I see where I'm going to be the enemy despite my color, but I still see a group of the same color guys.
If you saw a bunch of white guys with shaved heads.
Right.
Right?
Fucking football hooligans.
Yes.
That is terrifying.
You would be like, I don't see color.
I don't see color, but I see danger.
Are they accountants? What do they do? Must be dressed down Wednesdays. No, you see it, and, you know, I don't know. At night, when fear comes up, you think the worst. I used to do a bit in my act that, everybody's racist at night, and you have to be, and that's how you get home. You just have to think the worst of people so you can make it to your car in the parking lot.
Yeah.
And whatever they are, if they're Asian, they're a fucking ninja.
Sure.
Or they're a Chinese communist coming, oh, it's just begun, and I'm the first victim. You have to think that stuff. And then also when you tell these anecdotes, you have to pick somebody like Asians. So you don't get in trouble.
Yeah, the Turks.
Certain groups get you in more trouble.
Yeah. Armenians. Yes. Yeah. You can talk all
like
the shit
if I used an African American or a Jewish anecdote there, I'd be in trouble right now.
Yeah.
Dollar Shave Club would be running. Would be running in the other direction.
Don't we have more ads, or are we going to
We do have more ads.
Tug McGraw.
Well, we didn't answer the question. What do you think? Should the guy be suspended? The NFL player for smoking a little weed?
Obviously not. But in the last 24 hours, there was interracial male tongue kissing celebrated.
Yeah, he tongued him?
So I probably didn't use. Maybe I'm exaggerating the tongue, but they kissed deep and passionate.
Did Mo Vaughn hit a single or a home run?
It was an RBI. I say he knocked it out of the park, but I was wrong.
Ah, Jesus Christ.
But yeah, no.
I hope he wins a Super Bowl and he's the MVP. And they have their family and stuff. I just hope he's up there. Just goes at it, man. That's going to be fucking hilarious.
Fuck Disney World. I'm going to a bathhouse.
Oh, dude. Okay, who's going to be the first one to lose his fucking job or get fined? Let's go down the Rams roster and let's try to guess who's the first one who's going to... Oh, my God. Somebody's going to say something.
I'm trying to think of a Ram other than Sam Bradford.
Poor bastard.
Who's another one?
What happened to the Rams? Mike Martz is what happened to the Rams. And that shitty fucking... They have one of the worst stadiums I've ever been to. It's like if the Twins... Ship the Homer Dome down to fucking St. Louis, and you played football in it.
If there was a team that's coming to L.A., it's the Rams coming back. No one gives a fuck about the Rams. It's like Delaware as a state. You just forget that it even exists. No news comes out of there.
What's your favorite state, Doug?
My favorite state?
Ugh. Do you look at states the way you look at music?
But for different reasons. Yeah, I like Wyoming and Montana. You just did that, the Red State Tour.
I loved it.
Fucking gorgeous out there.
It is. But I don't tell people that. Why? I always say that when I go.
You always have the rosiest fucking outlook. Every tour you do is great. Every audience is fantastic.
Because you know what? Because this is what I decide. I spent the first half of my life being an angry cunt sleeping on a futon. And somewhere around, approaching 40, I was just like, so this is the guy I'm going to be? And I also, I kind of learned how to get out of my...
You keep making that face, it's going to stick like that.
Yeah, my depressing downward spiral, I figured out how to stop it. Like, fortunately, I don't have clinical depression, but I am geared towards negative, cynical thought. So what I would just do is I just started thinking, okay, is that what you want to think today? This is what we're going to do this one fucking day. Then all that new agey shit. And I just started going to the gym. I just started, when I went on the road, I would do shit.
Don't you ever have a fucking horrible show? Like, one time I want to hear you come on Monday Morning Podcast. It's Bill Burr. I just played Toronto. What a bunch of fucking assholes.
No, here's the deal. But at this point, people are coming to see me.
Yeah, I know.
So I'm going to get
I
mad at
that
them.
Too,
so
and I still have douchebag audiences.
But at that point, if I have a bad show, it's kind of on me. It's like I come out and they clap like I already killed for an hour.
Yeah, yeah, no.
So it's completely up to me to – like this weekend, I was in San Diego. And I was trying to put together what I'm going to do, and I was a little off on a couple of shows. And when I got off stage, I was mad at myself. I wasn't mad at anybody in the crowd. And, it, you know, it was a couple of drunk people, and some people yelled out. But, like, I never get mad at that because I think that that's what makes this art unique, that you can sit there and yell out at the person, and
oh, yeah.
and you just have to fucking deal with it. And I don't like that shit when if somebody yells something out, and immediately they're going to go throw them out. Like I'm this precious fucking Hope Diamond or some shit. It's like, no, I'm saying a bunch of shit up here that should make you go like, dude, you don't even know what the fuck you're talking about. So, I mean, the only heckler I don't like is basically if you're going to
talk and ignore.
If you're just yelling to yell and you're not going to shut up no matter what, then at that point I can still deal with that. But I end up feeling bad for the people who came out.
I did a show in Daytona Beach a couple months ago. Or I don't know when. But I had to throw a guy out from the beginning, like before the show. I'm watching. There's no way this guy is going to make it. He's too drunk, and he's out in the lobby, and he recognizes me. But you can see he's trying to focus and say words, and I hide. And then he's in the front row. And I'm like, I threw this guy out
where
like it was an old bit. Like it was so rote. Like I went through the motions. I know at some point he's going to try to talk. It's not going to happen. So it was like I did a tired closing bit with the whole, okay, you're not going to make it unless John Goodman comes in at the end of the movie Flight and gives you blow.
So you went out on stage and threw him out.
I know what's going to happen. So I just watched the whole thing. It was fluid. I caressed him out of the room like it was a part of my act. I had thrown people out so many times for being that drunk that I'm like, this should be on my set list. Okay, open with the thing about driving down here, throw drunk guy out, segue into retardation.
That's amazing. I had a guy one time, I was at the DC Improv, and he was one of those guys, like, I'm not even going to say what he was doing. I'll tell you off air, because if I say it to you, some asshole listening to this is then going to do it. But he was doing this annoying thing where he wasn't laughing. He was doing something else. So, and I got into it with him, and, like, whatever. We did the fight. Did he get kicked? No, he didn't get kicked out. So, I'm like, all right, so that's the one Yahoo for the weekend. Because you know you're going to get one. It's going to be a fucking nightmare, right? So, the fucking very next night, who comes walking in the door again? The same fucking guy. And the waitstaff or whoever seats him hears him say, I'm going to fucking yell out all his punchlines. And they sit him right down in the front row. So now I'm going out there and I'm fucking riffing and I'm trying to switch shit up and blah, 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 blah. And he yelled out the first punchline and I was so ready for it. I fucking snapped and we ended up throwing him out. And the crowd was pissed at me. Because they didn't know the backstory.
Yeah, they weren't there.
I remember this guy afterwards. I'm selling my CD, right? And this guy comes up and says, dude, that was fucking bullshit. That's bullshit. You're the headliner. You should have to deal with that. And I was going, no. And I tried to explain. And then he just wouldn't let me talk. And then I said, you know what you should do? You should never come to one of my shows again. That'll show me. Because it just got to the point of like, it was like probably like six people who were flipping out. But it was, and it was a classic thing. They kicked the guy out. And I'm standing there selling my wares, whoring myself out, getting to the end of the line. I look up. Who's standing in line?
The guy they kicked out.
Like, this is how comedy clubs kick people out. They get them an inch beyond the threshold
of
the front door, yeah. And then they turn their back, and then they go over and fucking—
ignore the problem.
Yeah, have some potato skins or something. And then here's that fucking guy back in. Like, so I had to tell them, like, I go, hey, in the future when you kick somebody out, can you kick them all the way out? Can you make sure that they don't—
So what did he say?
He was just going like, but you don't understand, I love you. You don't understand, I love you. Like he was trying to say, it was like, dude, you don't understand. The first night you were here.
I'm trying to prove how much I love you I know every punchline.
The first night, I can't remember which night it must have been the second night, but the first night Well, no, he was just trying to say that he was yelling out because he loved my stuff, and it was, and he was just so fucking drunk. There was no, and dumb, and dumb. It's not like when he sobered up, like this level of fucking intelligence was going to come back. He was just a fucking moron. Yeah. And it was kind of one of those things, like that kind of person I had to kind of burn off from my crowd. Like when you first get your people finally coming out to see you, you're psyched. And then there's people who are going to come out and see you and be like, oh, I thought he was this way. He's actually that way. And then they don't come back. And then hopefully the rest of the room gets filled up with people who kind of
get who
you are.
Yeah, they see a 30-second YouTube clip on a subject that they already have. And they go, oh, I love this guy. Oh, wait.
They see you be clean on TV and they go, oh, there's a wholesome guy. And then you come down there, what the fucking cunt? And then they get up in the middle of it. Nah, then, of course, you blame them. All right, let me do a little more advertising. Then we'll we got to wrap this thing up here, dude.
Sure.
Dude, I'm so fucking psyched. Just to see you, man, because I never get to see you. You've been one of my favorites since you had the long hair and you had that headshot where you had the fucking Santa Claus hat on. Remember that one?
I remember getting you into Chilkoot Charlie's in Alaska.
I thought it was fucking green room too.
The band house. Yeah, no, and it was horrific. But I always had an affinity for horror gigs like that and terrible accommodations when they're that bad that they're comical. And I thought you might think it was funny too. And you're like, I can't believe you sent me to that fucking place, that rat trap I had to stay in.
I didn't mind the gig. The gig was fine. That is the worst fucking place.
Absolute beyond anything.
The mattress,
cigarette burns on the television set.
The mattress literally was caved in the middle, and the fucking covers were so ratty. I just said, I just have to make this my own, and I laid down in it. I remember I ran into Ralphie May.
Ralphie May, they couldn't put him in the band house because the floorboards were too weak. They had to actually give him a hotel.
Is that what happened? Because he said to me, he goes, oh, I didn't fucking stay there. He goes, I took one look at it. I said, I'm not staying here.
No, they took one look at Ralphie May and went, we can't put him in there. He would literally go through the floors.
No.
Yeah, because it was he's that
you
big.
You know what's funny, though? His lie gave me self-esteem. I just started saying, I'm not staying here. You need to get me a fucking hotel room. And half the fucking rooms I stayed in, you were there the week before and had done something with a midget and a fucking God knows what. Yeah, and then he wiped
his
dick.
I'm the new John Fox.
Yeah, you were. You were. Like, I loved you, but doing the road so much, I was starting to fucking hate you. I was like, this motherfucker, how does he know where I'm going to be and gets there the week before and fucking does something to the pillowcase with his fucking taint and ball bag? It was horrific. I always said the cure for AIDS was under the bed in the rug of a comedy condo. The amount of
the band house in Alaska, I actually took a bar of soap onto stage that was in the shower there because it had black mold. And I'm like, if you think I'm making up jokes about the band house, this is the soap. When you're growing mold on an antibacterial product, that's how bad the fucking place was.
Yeah, dude. And I never went back.
Go ahead.
I never went back. Let's do a little advertising here. LegalZoom, everybody. Hey, Doug, modern technology is great, isn't it? Smartphones, iPads, and other gadgets that make it so easy to do so many things. But why is it that our lives seem busier at the same time? Well, when it comes to getting the legal help you need, LegalZoom provides a great solution that works with your busy schedule. Hey, let's face it, everybody. The legal system is complicated. There are better things you can do with your time. Thankfully, LegalZoom is there for you. So, if you're thinking about starting a business, forming an LLC, or getting a trademark, will, or living trust, LegalZoom gets the job done right. You'll get the personal attention you need, and they'll help take care of all the details. LegalZoom has been helping families and small business owners for over 14 years, and they received an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau. Call or visit LegalZoom today for an extra discount. Enter BURR, B-U-R-R, in the referral box at checkout. LegalZoom.com, discount code BURR, B-U-R-R. LegalZoom provides legal help through independent attorneys and self-help services, but it's not a law firm. Look at that. Huh? They understand that I don't know how to read, so they keep them short. Well, here we go. Here's the classic, everybody. My stairway to heaven, if you will. Stamps.com. There's a stamp who knows. Sorry. Back in the days of black and white TVs and phones and with wires, the only way for a business to avoid the post office was to lease a postage meter. Technology has changed dramatically since then, but those postage meters haven't. Luckily, there's a way better way to get your postage. Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can do so much more than a postage meter for so much less. Get official U.S. postage for any letter and any packages using your computer and printer. No hardware to buy or lease. And unlike a meter, there are no long-term commitments. You can save up to 80% versus a meter. Plus, with Stamps.com, you can track packages, track spending, and more.
I have to take off right now, Bill, because I have to get to the post office to mail my rent check.
Well, why would you do that when there's a better option?
Is there a better way?
It is. It's called Stamps.com. You can print legal postage stuff with a meter right in the comfort of your own home.
Right here?
Yeah. You and Marilyn Manson last night when you're in the middle of reading.
Do you think LegalZoom.com can settle a libel suit when Marilyn Manson comes at me? He's going, why would you mention Coke on the air?
No, but they could trademark that argument. Right now, use my last name, Burr, B-U-R-R, for this special offer, no risk trial.
Or Norm.
Or Norm. Plus, $110 bonus offer includes a digital scale and up to $55 free postage. What more do you want here, people? Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Burr, B-U-R-R. That's Stamps.com. Enter Burr. All right.
Hey, speaking of digital scale, how much is my nose worth right now?
Doug, you know what? Of course, the week you fucking come in, I only have an hour.
No, that's all right. I'm a wreck. I smell bad. Smell myself.
I haven't smelled you.
Well, I
can't
smell
you.
Don't come much closer.
The rayon of your outfit there is holding your scent.
And I have to go do Bert Kreischer's podcast. He goes, I hope you're not on the wagon when you come do my podcast. So I guess.
Hey, tell Bert, we were supposed to smoke cigars a long time ago. I got a bunch of Cubans in my humidor. If he wants to smoke, I'd love to hang out with them. And, dude, I fucking love you to death, man. It's so great to see you.
I wish
you lived in L.A., man. I really wish you.
Out more often.
You are out in Arizona, right?
Yeah.
All right.
We meet up in weird places.
I'll buy an experimental aircraft. I'll get out there. Crash land on your front fucking cactus. All right. That's the podcast for this week. The one and only Doug Stanhope. But if you're brand new to this guy, I'm telling you, man, this guy is one of the greatest comedians I've ever seen. Definitely, without a doubt, one of the best of my generation. And in a long time, dude. I know you don't like
compliments. I feel the same way about you, sir.
Compliments. Well, you know something? At some point, dude, we ought to try to do a co-headlining thing somewhere.
It's just a random one-off. Vegas is always the place to do that because you're not burning a fan base. Everyone's from out of town. And you can,
For some reason, I want to go to Yellowknife up in Canada.
I'd rather do that.
Why don't we do that?
Do weird. Yeah, Yukon Territory. You didn't go there on your Canadian tour. I missed that. So, yeah, fuck it.
Why don't we do a one-off up there?
Yeah.
See what
roughneck oil workers and
Eskimos.
We'll
see what we run into. I'm going to go to some random place in the middle of fucking nowhere.
I'm in.
And do like a 3-hour show.
All right.
You up for it? All right. Yeah. Doug Stanhope, everybody. That's the podcast. Go fuck yourselves. I'll talk to you next week. Go Bruins!